السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. Welcome to Radio Islam International on this very cold Saturday morning. Generally, for the last few weekends we've been saying a wonderful, lovely, beautiful Saturday morning. Well, yesterday around 5, I think it was, just before Asr, you could say, suddenly a drop in weather just changed, and this cold front that actually just came through. But nonetheless, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ala kulli hal, upon every condition, upon every situation that we are in. And we appreciate that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. We only appreciate something when we don't have it. So likewise, the heat. I mean, how many of us were complaining about the heat, saying it's so hot and we can't do this or we can't do that? And here now, when the cold comes, then you're wishing that the heat was back again immediately. So we should always appreciate and thank Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every condition, every situation that we are in, inshaAllah. First, we're going to get Brother Ali with us on the line this morning, inshaAllah. Also, we'll be speaking to Brother Luqman Mia of Solis Agnes Corner, the sponsor of our program. And a bit later on, inshaAllah, in the program, we will try and get Brother Farooq Hassan to speak to us as well, inshaAllah. First, let us welcome Ali with us on the line. Adil, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Adil?
Yeah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And I know it's rather chilly and cold, Adil. I never know. I thought you gone quiet today even.
I forgot I'm on the radio. I thought it was just another call, Maaf. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mulana Sajjati Maulin to all our wonderful, wonderful listeners. On this very, very, very cold morning in Lens at the moment.
Extremely chilly, Ariel. I was saying normally the last few Saturdays, Ariel, we've been saying awesome, we've been saying beautiful, we've been saying lovely Saturday morning, and yeah, just in between of all of that, we're saying a very cold Saturday morning.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. One thing we are very fortunate about in South Africa is we can experience so many different types of weathers, and sometimes in one day also, you know.
Definitely. Adil, you guys at school today, Adil?
Yeah, I'm currently at school. I just sorted out my classroom now quickly.
All right.
And I'm in the office at the moment, so I could take the call. What we are doing is we are catching up on the days that we had to take off for the religious festivals. So normally when you do religious festival, you have to apply for it, like for Eid or for Diwali or something.
Okay.
And then the department will grant you the permission to close the school, but you got to make up the time. So one of the options that we had was to open school on Saturday. So, yeah, and I can see quite a few of the classrooms today, alhamdulillah, they're quite full. Even though it's so chilly, children have woken up, teachers are in action, they're doing revision for the exam. Yeah, so things are happening here.
So this is just one Saturday, is it?
Yeah, well, it's just for now, because we have made up for the other days during the course of the year.
Okay.
And so today we had to just cover up for today as well.
Oh, for the last...
Those 2 days that we took off for Diwali, yeah.
Sure. 100%. So, Adil, there were no plans, of course, for this weekend. I mean... Being weather like this year, of course, there was one. And secondly, I mean, now knowing that you had school as well.
Yeah, but I'm feeling very, edgy, because if I look at the last 4 or 5 weekends that have gone by, I've been fishing every single weekend.
Is it?
So, I'm thinking about it. It's been, mashallah, it's been a good takeoff. We did the Tanglewood, first I did the pre-evaluation where I went there the weekend before, and then the next weekend you were there, I had to go for the funeral, but on the Sunday I was at Tanglewood.
Mm.
Then last weekend we were at the Willow Express. And in fact, the previous weekend before Tanglewood I was at Willow Express was the Jamiat.
Mm.
And then last weekend we were there for the big, get together with some of my friends. So, yeah, alhamdulillah. And last week was amazing. because while I was on air, remember the line took, and I ate this quite a beautiful fish that came online.
Yes,
and,
sure.
Yeah, and one of our listeners actually gave us the name. It's the jelly lip yellow fish, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so that's actually a thing, and it was quite amazing, alhamdulillah.
But Ali, before we actually, we wanted to discuss a bit more about last week's trip. We got Brother Luqman with us on the line. Luqman, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Malana?
Alhamdulillah, alaikum Luqman.
Allah shukr. Assalamu alaikum to Adil and to all the listeners.
Alaikum salam. Luqman, I just got a message from my sister earlier on. She said it's raining in Joburg. How's the weather that side where you?
Not raining, but very overcast and cold, and like you say, a bit of wind as well.
Mm. So what does that spell for our English for this weekend?
To sleep.
Sleep or go to a solid English corner. That's what you can buy
well,
for next
first
weekend.
Time to, first to sleep, have a nice good rest, have a cup of coffee, a nice breakfast, everything.
Yeah.
And then when you're in a nice relaxed mode, then you can come and walk around in the shop and play with all the nice toys, and hopefully we'll fill your shopping basket quite easily.
Well, we cancelled, Luqman.
Is it? Yeah, because I know you guys were between venues. You know, one day was Azorb, then it was Derwab, then it was Woodbank, then it was Rizavanta. So, yeah, with weather like that, it makes, you know, your choice difficult.
Mm.
And it seems like this weather pattern is all over the country. I mean, we had reports of very bad hail yesterday at Woodbank, so...
Yes, that's one of the main reasons, of course, we can see, because they did call that side. Exactly.
Yeah, what happens with cold fronts is generally like this. One thing can happen, you know, if you had the opportunity or were fortunate enough to fish yesterday, you would have done very well, because fish generally feed, go into like a feeding frenzy,
yes,
just before cold front. So those that were fortunate enough to fish yesterday must have had a good day. But what would happen today is, you know, fish would, not totally, because they still, you know, the spawn is over, they're still feeding a bit in it. So I wouldn't say you're not going to catch at all. You're still going to catch, but you're probably not going to catch your numbers when there's better weather. And then secondly, you know, it's uncomfortable fishing, especially if you're off the boat, you know, you're getting wet, the spray of the boat, and you make, for those that are going out, you know, just take extra, make sure you got proper rain gear, you know, that's what you need. Serious fishermen, to them it doesn't really matter. They'll just go prepared, and that's it, nice proper rain suits. And if you're off the boat, you know, just take precaution with heavy winds or whatever, and you can still fish. At the end of the day, you know, fishermen would try come hell or high water, yeah?
Like, make sure that the only thing you don't catch is a cold.
Yeah, and there's the other thing, you know, it's cold, so even besides a rain suit, you know, you want to wear a nice jacket or those puffs or something just to protect your ears and it from the cold wind. And if you are in a comfort, you know, especially at some of the dams, it can be windy, but if you find a sheltered bay, we've often seen it, you know, where sheltered bays are quite comfortable to fish in, as long as you're out of the main wind and stuff. You'll be all right. So if you're on the boat, you know, there are places you can get away from the wind and the rain, so to say. But, yeah, it's one of those choices you have to make. You know, you can't even wait till tomorrow, because one of the weather reports we saw, you know, by this afternoon at 4 o'clock is when it stops. This whole cold fronting starts lifting off again. So it's not a total no-go weekend, you know. You can still go tomorrow for a day trip if you take, like, Boskop Dam or as the winter, it's close enough to go for a day trip. So, you know, it's not a total weekend that's lost. You can still make a go of it for tomorrow.
Luqman, in terms of, I hear you saying rest of winter. I mean, somebody posted a picture on our fishing group last week of a big crocodile in the water. I'm not sure where the picture was taken, and you know how these social media things function. How is rest of winter performing at the moment?
We were there, alhamdulillah, last week, and we it got off to a late start because of weather. You know, when we woke up, it was windy and cloudy, and then we decided to go a bit later. And Alhamdulillah, we had a good day's fishing, caught about 20 nice, not big fish, but it was good fun. You know, we took the children with and were teaching them as well. So it was all round a good day's fishing. The area we fished, we didn't see, you know, we hardly fished a big area, so it's not a very big dam. And there's no need to really move around once you locate the fish. So we didn't get a chance, or we didn't see the crocodile, but we know, you know, we've been fishing Reservanta for a very long time. And there are crocs. There's even reports of hippo there, which we've heard of. I don't remember seeing the hippo, but we heard that there. So these crocodiles have become very daring, you know, when you're on the boat, they'll swim, you know, we've had customers that said swim right up to the boat, or when they're frying at night or what, it comes right virtually to the bank, you know, to the side of the dam. So if you're going, you know, you want to just take extra precaution, not to be, you know, just take chances, because, you know, a croc is an opportunist. If you are easy enough prey, he'll just grab you, yeah.
Especially with the younger kids near the water's edge and things like that.
Gee, you have to take the extra precaution.
Definitely. So then, Lukman, you say again, once your weather clears up, I know, okay, for us it's like kind of call for this weekend, now probably another weekend. But again, wouldn't your temperatures then drop then and again cause it for your weekend fishing again if you're going to be going tomorrow or a bit later in the week as well?
You know, fish, like I said, you know, all fish don't shut off and all fish, you know, don't stop eating. And that's why I say, if tomorrow the wind lets up and there's a slight increase in the temperature, I think now when I drove to shop, it's sitting at 9, it was 9 degrees. So, if it pushes up to about 15, 16 tomorrow, you know, there on even up to 17 degrees tomorrow, it's still comfortable to fish in, you know, 17 is not too bad to fish in. So if the temperature increases, but I don't think you should have a problem. You should still catch, like I said, the only thing is the numbers, and you have to adapt to the conditions. You know, you can't fish your normal style. You know, you may have to fish a bit deeper using smaller baits or lighter line. Whether you're fishing for carp, whether you're fishing for bass or whatever, yellowfish or whatever, when conditions change, you have to be prepared to also change your tactics and way you fish. So it doesn't mean it's not a perfect day, you can't catch, just by adapting or changing the way you fish and the way you approach the water, you still will catch fish.
Lukman, in terms of the coast,
also there, you know, we've heard mixed reports, but generally there, even the weather hasn't been too good, and I don't think the guys were doing too well. We did, you know, I had some clients that went to northern Mozambique, to the Bezaruto region, for some marlin fishing, and they caught, hooked, landed one, and obviously lost one or two, but they said plenty of sharks. But they also had bad weather. They were there for a whole week, and out of the week, they only managed to fish 2 days. So that in itself tells you. But a day or two after they got back in the same area, a guy caught a 1,300-pound marlin, which is a huge, they call them the grandest. So that shows, you know, fishing is like that. You know, you can have 5 or 6 days of bad fishing, and all of a sudden the next day is good. They also lost a marlin. They landed another one of about 800 pounds, which are big marlin. So fishing is like that, you know. You, in between the bad weather, you still can get a day where those fish are going to bite. Besides the marlin in that same area, big GTs was caught. A guy sent me a photo of a 63-kilo GT. Now, that is a very, very big fish.
That's a thing.
And like I say, it's... it doesn't mean the weather is bad that you don't catch. You still catch.
Sure. Lukman, jazakallah for your time. We'll catch up with you next week, inshallah.
Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Right.
Yeah, so the moral of the story is you can still go fishing.
Yeah. I was actually prepared, Adil, ready. And the only thing that was left was to jump into the car, honestly.
Right.
And we phoned all the guys up and we said, listen, what's the story? And most of the guys said, okay, let's just perhaps leave it for next weekend.
Yeah.
And I think, but it's just sudden change like this, Adil.
I suppose it happens. That's how it goes. Mm. Like we mentioned earlier on, you know, the weather in South Africa is something like that there where you don't always know what's going to happen.
Mm. Also, Adil, this is the program from next week, Saturday, inshallah, will begin at 7 o'clock, inshallah.
Right.
So we'll have to be up even earlier now, Adil, 7 to 8. Right. Time change in the Screaming Reels program as well, inshallah.
Just a heads up for all our listeners.
Yeah.
Make sure that you are a little bit earlier next week to catch the Screaming Reels program, inshallah.
Well, they say fishermen got to be up earlier.
No, well, the fishermen will be up from 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
But a lot of people I know that listen to the program actually put the program on when they're on their way to work, you know.
Mm.
And usually people start off a little bit later on a Saturday morning.
It's a better day to just take it easy and relax, Adil.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think we'll check it out and see how it goes. I'm usually moving on to the fishing spot around about that time.
Yes.
Of the morning, so we'll have to leave even earlier now when we're doing outside
yes. Yeah, it does become tough to get to the area and then before that, because I mean you want to be there before you're on the program already.
No, definitely, and hopefully one or two up. I think an amazing thing is to be able to bring to the listeners an experience, because last week I had tons of messages and calls from people, you know, wanting to see the fish that I caught and, you know, sharing with me that experience on the air of actually catching and landing the fish. And I think one of the highlights of the program has always been those opportunities where we got to go out and, you know, we were able to bring to the listeners the environment and the place that we were in. And inshallah,
yes.
Let's hope that we can do a lot more, you know, of that in the future.
100%. I know. You say you received. I received those messages as well, Adil, and phone calls to say please send those pictures of some of them saying Sir Adil Mangli and some of them saying Brother. You know, when they say Sir, it becomes a bit dangerous then.
No, they don't mean Sir as in someone who's got knighthood. They just mean Sir like a school teacher. Don't worry.
You know, what would be interesting, you know, we're just trying to get hold of Brother Farooq Hassan.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I would really like to have found out from him. I know Ziad saying that I think phone is off, said he. Huh?
Okay.
Oh, okay. Ziad is saying we actually can't get through. But nonetheless, you know, you spoke about...
listening, maybe you can just give the engineers...
A call, yeah, 100%. But what I'm actually finding very, very, what I actually would have liked to ask Luqman, totally slipped up, and I thought, okay, it's fine. Farooq is coming on, and I thought we could have actually asked him this question. You know, he spoke about seeing the crocodiles, and one thing, would these crocs, I mean, attack you whilst you're on the boat or not? Now, I know it's something that many fishermen perhaps don't want to hear or don't want to know about. But just to know, I mean, is it safe to fish close to them, not safe? Because, I mean, some time ago we've seen a crocodile, I mean, actually climbing, I don't know how far out of the water to actually get prey. So is it risky in that way? Or, I mean, of course, it's an animal at the end of the day. So there is no guarantees to anything. But would they just do something like it or not? That's what I actually wanted to ask Farooq Kator if you do get hold of him.
That'll be an interesting one. I know in Australia they have these, you know, these certain boat rides that they take the people out. And what they do is they hang a piece of meat from the side of the boat. And these crocs literally jump up to 2 meters out of the water to grab the meat. So they've got very strong, very powerful tails which they propel themselves with. And I suppose also the depth of the water is important, because, you know, they need that sort of like enough water to be able to launch themselves out of the water. But many times, it's like you say, it's a very sensitive topic to be talking about, because we don't want to frighten anyone.
Yes.
But there was an incident in St. Lucia, a number of years ago, where this lady was fishing, and she was fishing with a lure in the estuary, and her son was with her, and she cast a rod, and she got stuck on a little bit of reed on the side of the water. And when she went to try and get the lure back, the croc took her into the water from there. And this happened also in front of a child. So I think what was very interesting in what Rukman also mentioned earlier on was, you've got to be very careful and be aware of a crocodile, because it is an opportunistic predator, and it will... it will attack you if you are within its area of attack.
But okay, Farooq Hassan just sent a message apologizing, saying that he is in a meeting at the moment.
Okay.
So, we're just going to try and get a little brother Muhammad Patel one more time very quickly as well, to see maybe if we could speak to him. So, yeah, like you're saying, Adil, I mean, you don't want to frighten anybody, but like you said also, you got to take the precaution. You can't just... do as you feel. And there was a question that somebody asked now. Sometimes, do fish actually sleep or not?
Okay, now that's a very interesting question.
We'll see if maybe Mohammed. I know there's a lot of theories. Some people say that they do, but they continue to move, because if a fish doesn't,
be flowing through the gills all the time.
Yes, because if a fish doesn't, then a fish will drown.
But remember, in the animal world, the way we interpret sleep is very different. For example, I obviously there's different species of fish, and they do it differently. There's certain species of sharks, for example, can sleep suspended. Whereas, other fish are, like you said, they're sleeping, but they're moving all the time. So yes, I think there definitely is a need for sleep. But now the thing I wanted to talk about was interesting, because it's not to do with this fish, because, these pigeons and these certain birds that fly over a very long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
What actually happens with them is they shut off half the brain. So half the brain goes to sleep, while the other half is still awake, and then when they sort of wake up from the other half of the brain, then the second half shuts down. I've read about this as well. So in the animal kingdom, and we gotta understand the interpretation of sleep is different. Like, for example, hibernation as well. I was checking something on the lungfish, which is found in Africa. It goes into there's certain dry periods that it experiences, where there's a drought or something like that, for example. So what it does is it digs a hole into the ground, and it covers itself in mucus, and it can live in that condition, or sort of in that hibernation, for up to about 4 years, they say, if the rain doesn't come. And obviously, as soon as the rain comes, then they come out into the water and they would swim around like normal. But now, those particular fish are not just, they don't just breathe through their gills, they can also breathe through their mouth breathers, which means they can also capture air from the atmosphere and take it in.
Mm.
So I definitely would say fish do sleep, but depending on the different species of fish, they would sleep in different manners. What we'll do is we'll do a little bit of research and come back, and I'll discuss that in more detail, talking exactly about the different species and sort of how do they take rest.
Yeah, we got with us also Brother Muhammad Patel, who probably would be able to give us one or two answers on that aspect there as well. Muhammad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam, Mulana, to you and Sajjad and all the Radio Islam listeners.
Salam.
Very, very cold Saturday today.
Yeah, they're asking us if fish can sleep. Adil, Muhammad, I'm just thinking the answer should be, can we sleep, brother, now?
He must be thinking I wish I was sleeping, yeah.
No, we're at the Tigers tournament.
I've got to be there shortly, Mohamed. Immediately after the program, my light is there already, probably.
So basically it's a soccer tournament for the youngsters in this weather.
You can hear the making a noise here. MC is making a noise. From young, I think it was under 7 or under 6, right up to under 13.
Yeah. See. So, Mohamed, tell us, we know human can and would really love to sleep in weather like this here. We were speaking with Luqman early on also with regard to the fishing, and I said to him that we were actually going out last night. It was after Maghrib, and I think when we just saw that sudden change of weather, and then of course Woodbank areas, it was quite heavy thunderstorms and hail, and most of the areas that you actually wanted to go to had some heavy rain and quite very very windy as well.
Gee.
So then it was just kind of cancelled then for the weekend.
No, it doesn't really cancel them. What happens is the same as humans do. Just abnormal humans like ourselves will come out and play soccer, but other human beings will be indoors, near the heaters or under the blankets.
Mm.
Now, they'll do the exact same thing when we term it as lockjaw. During a front, meaning like during this cold period, fish would normally move away from unstable water temperatures. So if we have shallower water, it warms up faster and gets cool faster. So what they do is they move off to a much more stable temperature, meaning, the deeper the water is, the less sunlight penetration, and the same would be for cold. The waters wouldn't get cold like overnight. Although it can be freezing cold today, it will take some time to get cold. So what they do is they move away from their feeding areas. They go away to what I term as their home. They'll go either to the nearest structure or rocks or whatever, wherever they go to, and they'll just sit there lockjaw. In terms of sleeping, I'm not 100% sure about them sleeping, but I do know, as far as I know, only certain shark species have to be continuously moving, otherwise they'll just drown stop. They won't be able to get in oxygen.
Mohamed, just on that point there, right? I know somebody sent me a message now to saying that fish do sleep, and any time the eyes are open, they don't have eyelids. Now, when it comes to these type of theories, Ariel, then there are so many different theories like this here. I know with regard to the fish memory, people speak about, they say 3 to 10 second memory. Then there is the one where certain fish can swim backwards, certain fish can't swim backwards. Then, of course, the one about the shark, like now you say, Mohamed, about they got to continuously be moving. So what are we going to do for the last few minutes more while we're discussing these aspects? The lines are going to be open as well, 011-854-1548. You have any theories like this, but of course not fisherman's tales per se, some genuine theories. Call us and tell us about your theory as well. Or perhaps we're saying something this side, Adil, and you maybe have the right news about it.
You see, from what I see, the best, basically, I've physically taken underwater footage. We go up to about 30 foot deep on crystal clear dams, and we send down like a camera to see what these bears are doing. And they sit there and do absolutely nothing. So I think that's their sleep time without having to move or feed. And then you'll find certain times of the day, these bears will be patrolling all over the shore, in and out of the shallows, all along the shoreline, and sometimes you'll find, certain times of the day the fish are so active, but that's because they're patrolling, they're on the feed. But when they're inactive, they're just sitting on the rocks whatever piece of structure, and they are dead. So we found in Lost Copter one day, I think it must have been about 30 plus bears in one area, just sitting and doing nothing. Drop the camera in the middle of them, and they look at the thing and inspect it, and you'd have one take a jab at the camera, and but like really fast, like quick in and out, inhale the thing and, you know, spit it out again. And she's not interested in it, you know. Just looking, doing nothing, absolutely nothing. That's what I think in terms of bass would do, you know. They wouldn't be moving or active when the weather's like this. This is why when it comes from a fishing point, what we term would be finesse fishing. You would have to now finesse them, you know, give them something that's enticing to make them bite.
You got to put a chow in the mouth.
You see?
I think it's what I said earlier on, when it comes to the animal kingdom also, you know the concept of sleep is a very different thing compared to what we... I mean, like, for example, if a fish is sleeping, you won't know it's sleeping because it doesn't have eyelids, so it's not going to blink its eyes or close its eyes or anything like that. So I think what Mohammed says is spot on in terms of getting to an area and you're finding the fish just not moving, you know, they're just sort of in that one position.
Inactive,
they're like
completely
taking
inactive.
A rest, bringing their bodies back down to a rest, and it's giving it time to generate enough energy. So if they do go on a hunt, they have enough energy. For animals, it's just about energy conservation and about recuperating that energy all the time.
You see, a typical example would be like if you look at a fish tank, you know, if you've got fish in a fish tank, certain species, if you put the lights off at night and you go to sleep and you come through with a torch, you see those fish are dead still. And sometimes even if you tap on the glass, you have to hit like a second tap for them to, like, you know, catch awake.
Yeah, no, I think that also makes it interesting. You know, where the message I received earlier on from my brother-in-law saying that you could actually see when they do sleep. But then again, you know, it would be very different. Yes, in terms of them sleeping, things like that, you would actually realize. But in terms of their movement and their pattern, Mohammed, don't you think seeing a fish from a tank could be very different than actually seeing it whilst in its own habitat or in the river or in the lake itself?
No, definitely, 100%. I mean, if you look at, like, the yellowfish species, if you're catching yellows in a river, for example, where do you find them? You find them behind the rock, in the slower, calmer water, because I'm sure they wouldn't have the energy to be in the rapids or in the fast-flowing water all the time. You know?
Sure.
I'm sure they'll get tired. This is the reason why those river fish are always stronger. It's almost like they're in the gym the whole day. So if you're in the rapids, you know, you've got to swim quite hard and fast.
And keeping yourself afloat as well,
correct. And also, I mean, like, I've taken so many people out fly fishing and teaching them about where and how to find yellowfish. We caught yellowfish, I think, less than knee-deep, even ankle-deep sometimes, but just finding them behind a rock, just sitting and parking, waiting for something to come past.
Well, tell us more about yellowfishing now that they actually went on to that subject. I know many people say that this actually starts now, or the season starts now.
Look, yellowfish, I wouldn't say I quit, but I haven't fished for quite some time because it came to a point where it wasn't challenging anymore. And this is the reason why I like bass fishing so much. But the reason for that is you would the exact same principle when it comes to bass, especially when you fly fishing for yellows. We used to do bait fishing for yellows. We used to stand in the river and used to catch tons of yellows. Sometimes you catch a monster muddy or a barbel or whatever. But fly fishing for yellows can be really great. Sometimes you find the bait guys are catching nothing and you just, you know, you're packing them in fish after fish. And reading the water, reading the conditions, knowing what type of fly is in the water. Sometimes you have stone flies in the water. You have a larva that's hatching from underneath the rock. The color of the larva. And same as it is for bass. You've got to match the hatch, meaning match the color that they can see. If you find the water slightly brown, we tend to use what we call hot spot nymphs, which is a bright orange. Now, sometimes you look at what is in the water that's actually that color. And surprisingly enough, we found one or two cheddar larvae in the water, not exactly orange, but quite a bright color. And I think for them to be able to see, because remember with fly fishing, they can't smell the bait, they got to see the bait. And even in that dirty water conditions, we've been quite successful, catching yellowfish. And same as bass. But I only find the yellows to be less challenging, to bass. Bass is a fish that they have a mind of their own. It's the most difficult of fish to catch. But a yellowfish, you can figure them quite easily, in the river. I've been to so many sections of the river to see, can we have a challenge in terms of catching yellows. Well, we go out sometimes for 3-4 hours, you're catching 20, 30 yellowfish for the time you're there. Yeah.
I think once they get onto the bite and you're in the right area, I know that like Vul Vakaruts, for example, where Mulana and I were last year, and that particular stretch of river where there's a lot of rapid, sometimes it can go like crazy. The fish will just be on one after the other with the yellows. Whereas in some cases, even the yellows also, you need to sort of hunt them and wait for them, yeah.
Yes. It used to be our favorite fishing spot, Vul Vakaruts. That's where we actually first started doing bait fishing for yellows, What we used to do was get some brown bread and make it almost into what we call like a cashew nut around the hook, So basically just following the profile of the hook and you cast it downstream with your back facing with the river basically eating your back. And a light, maybe 6-foot rod, a spinning setup, ultra light line, and it used to be fun.
We've experienced exactly the same thing. Sometimes I notice even the guys that are fishing with the fly now with the fly rod and the finesse fishing, that's a completely different art. That even the last time when we were there, we were looking at the whole outfit the guy was wearing. And, everything that was in that particular, I mean, a guy that fishes, like how you say with a brown bread or the bait fishing, he's just got his Bermudas and his t-shirt on and sitting on the side fishing, whereas these guys are like completely rigged up with their uniform and they go out and they sort of catch a fish. The other thing I was thinking about in terms of this, how you sort of dress when you go and you fish. You see a lot of guys, they sort of wear like a camouflage, etc., for certain types of fishing. I don't know if you guys have experienced that. Tell me, Mohammed, I don't know, maybe you know, I don't know, in terms of bears as well, because we catch bears a lot from the edge, and sometimes you can see the fish. The fish is sort of aware of you if you're wearing very bright colors, and if I'm sort of like blending in with the environment, my chance is going to be better of catching the fish.
Definitely, Adil. We find certain dams, it's like those fish are much hardier and they don't care who you are, what you are. You drop something in front of them and they bite it. And then you find certain dams, certain venues, if those fish can see you, forget it. You sit there for an hour trying to entice them or let them bite. We were also what we term foot soldiers once upon a time, and we used to walk around dams. We used to go to venues that we don't visit today, but faraway venues, and we used to be on foot, walk around the entire dam with our green shirts and pants and whatever, and try and camouflage ourselves as best as we can. We had quite a bit of success. Sometimes we even seen fish spawning in front of us, and they would never just watch us. So the most important thing would be when you're walking to a spot. We had one or two guys making racket, when they're getting to a spot. Now that bumping on the ground and that vibration can already alert them that there's something in the area, and then they become wary. You see? So I think your approach also very, very important.
Mohammed, we apologize for time again. The fishing program, generally this is what happens. That hour starts and it's over before you know it. Unfortunately, they say time passes when you're enjoying it. I'm going to catch up with you there. I'm just going to get home quickly, perhaps get a quick breakfast, and then I'll get you on the grounds, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Inshallah. Did the game start, Mohammed?
They're starting now at 9.
Starting now at 9. Okay, perfect. We will get you there shortly then, inshallah.
Okay, Mala.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamualaikum.
Adil, we're going to leave you and allow you to get back to your students and back to school. Perhaps you got some work to catch up with. We got Edzi to catch up with in the studios. And next week, Saturday morning, inshallah, Adil, hopefully, weather permitting, inshallah, and everything goes well, next week, Saturday morning, I think I should be speaking to you from the waters, Adil.
Sure. Okay, now next weekend, we've got a program here on the 4th.
Okay.
The 4th of November, I'm sure you guys have seen the posters out for Dr. Yusuf Dadu Primary School. The program is going to be run by the Teen Team and by Jamiatul Ufaz of Azadpur. It's going to be a youth program, inshallah. There's going to be quite a bit of activities. They've got the betting competition. They've got the kirat competition as well. So if you are in the area next weekend here at Azadpur, Dr. Yusuf Dadu Primary School, make a turn and bring the kids and let them see. I think it's from 11 years and upwards. It's a program for the boys, Shabab program, inshallah.
Perfect, Adil. Jazakumullah once again, Adil. We'll catch up with you next week, Saturday morning, inshallah.
Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mulana Sajjad Timol and to all our wonderful listeners.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.